First Chronicles 15, beginning at verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched it for a tent, Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God to minister unto him forever. I would begin by posing this line of thinking in a way, pulling out of this the story here, by simply asking the question: is God out of place in our lives? We understand that the ark of God here, as mentioned in verse number 1, had not been in its rightful place for a couple of decades. The ark had been in the hand of heathen. And there came a time in the province of God where they coughed it up. But on the way back, God's people made an error, a serious error, as to how they ought to transport that, and they paid dearly. So finally the time has come when the ark, which is the meeting place, the symbolical meeting place of God with respect to Old Testament Israel, is coming home. So the question I would ask for our devotional thinking tonight is this: is God out of place in our lives? Is God in the right place, first of all? I think we could make a case very simply that unless God is in the middle of everything, he's not in the right place in your life or mine. He must be in the middle of everything. Proceed with me through this portion of Scripture. There must be, I believe, a compelling desire for that situation to be so. It says in verse 3, David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord into his place, which he had prepared for it. And so he assembled the children, and they're listed all down through verse number 12. A desire. I would ask a couple of questions by way of application along this same line of thought concerning his place, which we will understand to be, for our purpose in study, the right place. Here's a diagnostic. When you think about the Apostle Paul's writing to the Colossian church, chapter 1, verse 18, we would ask, does God indeed have the preeminence in your life and my life in all things? We'll define that in a moment. Does he have the preeminence in your life and in my life in all things? Paul more strongly asserted it in his epistle to the Colossians that he ought to. But we would define that. A place comes to mind in something that the Lord Jesus said by way of response to a critic. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So that's the greatest commandment. And so if I was to define preeminence, I would define it by that verse, although I'm sure that there are other places that can go left or right underneath all about it, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Is he in the right place? Is he in the middle of everything in your life and mine? We pick up the reading at verse 12. David said to them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourself. Which is to say, set apart yourself for your appointed labor. sanctify, to be set apart for your designated labor. In this case, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place, the right place, that I have prepared for it. But there must be, secondly, if we are to give serious consideration to the relationship that we have with God, there must be a due order observed. Verse number 13 says, because you did not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. You remember someone, all good intentions, put their hand to the ark to stabilize it, and they died for it. And they were not transporting it in the correct manner in the first place, but nevertheless, God sent a breach upon them. So when you think about the due order, when we think about this imperative, God's work is to be done according to God's will in precisely God's way. That's the due order. There is a commentary over in chapter 16, verse 29, if you'll look at that verse. 16:29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." God's way is the best way, in the beauty of holiness. Now, by way of application, when we think about that, I'm reminded again of Paul's instruction to the Roman Christians and for Christians for every century thereafter in Romans 12 and verse 1. He addresses the brethren. He addresses the brethren. He says, present your bodies. Literally, present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Next word is holy. Holy. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God's work to be done according to God's will, God's way. And he would have your body and mine presented customarily and typically as a living sacrifice, but a holy sacrifice. We also would think that in verse number 25 of this chapter, after they had an introduction of a lot more names, David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom. And the last two words describe their disposition. With joy. When God is in his right place, when he is in the middle of everything in our lives, it seems to breed joy. The psalmist at Psalm 16 and verse number 11 says, In thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. As a matter of fact, when God is in the right place and the disposition is joyful, it would bring to mind also the appearance of the fruit of the Spirit. And the first three sections of that one fruit are love, joy, and peace. So you would have to have, there is first of all in order here, the desire. David, as well as we, ought to desire that God always be in the middle of everything in our lives. And that every work that he sets our hands to do, that there would be a consideration of the due order. And that once that is arrived at and we proceed on with that according to, as these folks did, that after all their planning and all their organizing, they finally went and got it. They went to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord back and put it in its rightful place, and they did so with joy. Now when I come to the 16th chapter, So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. When I look at verse number 16, I am thinking again and concentrating or focusing on that word in the midst. In the midst. They got the ark back. They placed it in the prepared tent, and that thing is in the midst. It seems to me, if you ask yourself honestly and openly and transparently about this one question, is God in the right place in your life? That God, literally everything ought to revolve around God as He is the hub of our lives. Once we relegate God as a mere spoke, one of many considerations, instead of the hub to which it is attached, then everything comes loose. And there begins to be problems. He ought to be in the middle of everything. I want you to consider this rightful designation in the midst. And remind you of a few verses in closing. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 20, where there it says in part, where two or three are gathered together, there am I on the perimeter. No, there am I in the midst. When I think about the occasion of, we look at Calvary's landscape, there were two thieves and Christ in the midst. I think that's a fair observation to say that Christ is in the midst of everything that matters. He was in the middle of it all on Calvary. And after he is buried and raised from the dead, he comes again and he appears to his disciples in John chapter 20 verse 19. And there it is said that he meets with them. He appears in the midst of them in the upper room. Then far downrange does John the Apostle picture him in Revelation chapters 1 verse 13 and Revelation chapter 2:1 as the Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, walking in the midst of the church. In the church. Whenever I think of that, he is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. A lot of things can be said and commented on about that, but here's some things to consider for application. To determine whether or not, to provide a challenge as to whether or not, that where you are concerned and where I'm concerned, whether or not God is in the middle of everything. He is the head of the church. He is not the head of the campground. He is not the head of the picnic table. He is not the head of the family reunion. He is not the head of the ballpark or the arena. God in Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the most meaningful thing on earth to Him. The church is the body that He loves more than anything else in the entire universe. He's in the middle of it all. Question is for us, is He in the right place in your life and mine? Is He right in the middle of it? Is He the hub, the first and last consideration of everything and anything we do? Do our lives revolve around Him, or do we expect that God's affairs should revolve around our lives? Which should it be? He is the hub, or we is the hub? It can't be both. It can't be both. I trust that you will give that some thought and consideration. And remember that the Lord Jesus Himself provided for us a prescription how to ensure that from day to day that he is in the middle of everything in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 18, provide a great prescription as to how that may be acquired and maintained and analyzed at the end of every day. And I think, look, if once we get to expect that that's what the relationship ought to be, that we ought to expect it every day and remember this tried old truth, not original with me, but it's certainly profoundly practical, that what you expect, you must inspect. Then you know that at the end of the day, whether or not, looking back on the day, you can see the footprints. Who's following who along the way? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your eternal patience with your children. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity now to entertain our prayers, our petitions, and the concerns of our heart. We rejoice, dear Lord, in the opportunities that we have to undertake for the folks that were mentioned in prayer. And we certainly rejoice at the news of the goings-on out there in the state of Washington. Praise God that there have been two who've been called from darkness to light. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might be glorified in that all for Jesus' sake. Amen.